Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Free K-12 Education Talk Radio. Give that a reset. My mic there. Hope you could hear me. It's Larry here on Education Talk Radio. And today's date is the 18th of October. It's 2023. We have a very interesting topic today. We've got the Aaron Philip Dworkin here. And Mr. Dworkin is the executive director. Let me get this right. The executive director of the National Association for Summer Learning. And as I titled this show, Welcome to Fall, Never Too Early to Think on Summer Learning. And, you know, I have to say he's right. All right. Because we all as educators experience the learning loss experienced by the kids. We're on the statistics show. We are behind. And we've all had this pet peeve for years. That's what summer vacation does. All right. But it's exacerbated by the pandemic. So we're going to talk to Aaron about what's going on, what he suggests, why this is important to start thinking about it now. They've got an upcoming conference, so we'll talk about all that with Mr. Dworkin in just a couple of minutes. I just want to remind everybody to go over to ace-ed.org. That's our home website for a consortium for equity. And our new issue of the magazine, Equity in Access, our online journal is up there. All the podcasts like this one are archived over there. Our Excellence in Equity Awards program is over there. We're just starting the educator side of it. It's all good stuff, and it's all free, so please go over, check it out. If you're in education and like equity like we do and want to work a little bit for it, please go over. Everything's free at ace-ed.org. And without further ado, let me bring on Aaron. Hi, Aaron. It's Larry here.
Hey, Larry, how are you today?
I am fine. Where are you today? Are you in New York? Where are you?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
That's Washington, where our headquarters is. You're good enough, okay? Is it always summer in your office?
Is it always summer? Yeah, well, yeah. We always are thinking about summer, that's for sure, as a great way to have it make a difference in kids' lives, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And you heard me introduce the show. I mean, you know, it seems an odd time to be talking about summer learning, but I don't think any time is an odd time to be talking about it. All right. Your conference is coming up. Obviously, it's a fall conference. We need time to plan. We need time to think. We need time to understand what kids need and what we have to do to make it important. So I'm just going to ask you the obvious question, okay, about National Summer Learning Association.
Summer Learning.
Pardon me. Yeah,
yes.
NSLA, okay, the National Summer Learning Association. All right, please tell me, why is summer learning so important now more than ever?
Sure. So our organization, NSLA, has been around for 30 years and started with the kind of original seminal research on summer learning loss and summer slide that showed that especially low-income kids in the summer months don't have access to great programs to keep learning and growing, and that the effects and the negative effects of that, the loss, the slide, were cumulative, so it really set them behind. We put a national spotlight on that for years. We've been working with school districts, nonprofits, government agencies to work and serve more kids, especially the most vulnerable. COVID, the negative effects of COVID put a spotlight on the importance of summer learning like never before. And it has taken us from being a niche issue to a national priority of the country. And in the American Rescue Plan, there was $30 billion set aside just for after-school and summer programs to help kids catch up. So our conference, which actually just took place a few days ago.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had the dates wrong.
Okay.
Forgive me.
No problem. You know, it featured the head of the Secretary of Education, Cardona, and you know, the Deputy Surgeon General came, and all these great people, and it was sold out. And basically all the folks are saying, how can we leverage summer programs not only to help kids catch up, help them keep up, and then propel forward into the next, you know, school year and also into the next stage of life for them.
And who, obviously Cordota, et cetera, where it's very important for them to be there. Who else was there? Okay, who are the people we need to be? And I have to ask this, were enough school districts there? Because that's where it all is. Talk about that.
Yeah.
Who was there?
Yeah. And we had hundreds of school districts, many of them involved with something we support called the District Summer Learning Network.
Wonderful.
We had lots of state departments of education who came with their teams because they have a lot of resources and focus on this. We have all the nonprofits, with CEO YMCA of America, CEO Big Brothers Big Sisters of America, community schools, every nonprofit you've ever heard of. And then the other thing that makes our association and our gathering unique is we also bring in all the what we call youth serving government agencies, libraries, parks and rec, public housing
Great.
Authorities. And as kids become older, it becomes summer jobs and summer youth employment programs that are run by mayor's offices. So all these groups have their own conferences, but they never get together in one place. And so we've become this rare place in the field of education,
yeah.
bringing together all the strands and leaders of our ecosystem.
And have we learned anything now? And we know things are not good. I mean, all the statistics, we lost a lot. Your schools are now, I think it's a year and a half behind or so, or a half a year. Everybody's behind, okay? And by the way,
right.
I have to say, as much as I loved summer vacation when I was a kid, okay, the fact of the matter is there's no reason for it to be the same way it was when I was a kid, okay? And by the way, when I
yeah.
was a kid, there were Conestoga wagons, okay? But seriously,
yeah.
I'm not harvesting anything. Okay,
the
time has come
about,
to think
yeah.
about it. Yeah, go ahead, talk about
yeah.
all this.
So we want to
maximize. It's time to really make a change.
Yeah. Well, and that's what we're trying to. And by the way, families, middle and upper middle class families, have been spending thousands upon thousands of dollars without blinking or thinking for their kids to do great things in the summer. It's and
yeah,
no one has
okay.
to convince them, right? They're happy to do it.
Yeah.
What we're really talking about are the most low income kids who just can't afford to do these things. And so what are we
okay.
are,
wow.
you know, we're trying to make this a priority. And there's about 25 million kids, kindergarten through 12th grade in America, who qualify for free and reduced lunch, who are not in programs.
Yep.
And that's who we're trying to reach through this huge network. But what I'll tell you is one of the reasons we use the term summer learning is to change the stereotype and the old kind of practice of what summer school was. And if you ask anyone to go to
yeah.
summer school, you know,
yeah.
it was considered
yeah.
a punishment, remedial. No one wants, no kids want to go. No parents want to send their kids, and no staff want to work in it. And then, but when we talk about summer camp, you think about, you know, swimming in the woods and lakes
yeah.
and having a great time and all this. So what we say is if you got summer learning and summer school to have a baby, I mean, sorry, summer camp and summer school to have a baby, you end up with summer learning. And that's
there you
what
go.
We need. It can't only be s'mores and kickball and no reading, but it can only be reading and math and no fun. And we need people to kind of combine these, you know, team up around this.
And, you know, I have to ask you something, and I'll just use, I know Clark County runs this way. A lot of school districts do. They have school divided into four semesters, and they have different breaks all through the year. And so that in the summer, okay, maybe not in July per se, but certainly starting in August, then they'll take another break 6 weeks later. It's different from when I went to school where you got out on June 28th and you went back after Labor Day, okay? And I grew up in Philadelphia, which I think everybody
yeah.
kind of knows right now, but that's the old way of doing it. If school districts changed to a semester system like Clark County as an example, would that be better? Or is it literally, when we talk about summer, are we talking about just
yeah.
time off from school, or are we literally talking about summer? And by the way, I loved what you just said about summer school. I hadn't even thought about that, but that was always something you dreaded. You dreaded
yeah,
that.
It was
summer
mandatory.
School. Yes, it's bad.
And
yeah.
all that, yeah. And now you
yeah.
can make it so fun that you can make it voluntary and people want
exactly.
it. So, but so it's a real mindset shift. You know, in terms of scheduling, like, it's very different. With local control and education, I know a lot of times districts have tried to move to a year-round calendar. It's really – I'm just saying it's really hard. There's just a
yeah,
lot
well, –
you
yeah.
know, teachers have their own kids they got to deal with. They don't always want to be – you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
They're in Clark County – are you talking about Las Vegas, outside Las
yeah,
Vegas?
Yeah,
Clark County?
Las Vegas area.
Right.
Clark
so,
County. Yeah. I just use them as an example.
Yeah.
There are many districts that do this.
Well, let me just tell you, having worked in this, so prior to being CEO of National Summer Learning Association, I was national president of Arnold Schwarzenegger's After School All-Stars organization
no.
for 12 years. And
yeah,
we had,
cool.
We were in Las Vegas. We were all over the country. And I got to know all these areas and districts. And I'll tell you, like, Clark County, it's 120 degrees in the summer. And
yes,
the school system can't afford the air conditioning. To run summer programs. So he's like, there are a lot of localized challenges people need to figure out, right? And so I'm just saying, it's a very unique circumstances everywhere. What we know is there are a lot of partners who want to help, and you have a lot of unlikely allies. One of the most interesting things, Larry, in my job is to find all these partners who are working with kids in the summer who do not work with
yeah.
kids during the year. I'll give you an example.
Oh, yeah.
Medical schools and hospitals. all the NIH is running a program for 600 teenagers to teach them how to be doctors. The FDA has a program. All these programs are running to help especially minority, low-income kids get exposure to becoming a doctor or a STEM career. And they don't work with kids in the during the school year. But in the summer, we got thousands of kids. And at my conference, we had 25 hospitals and medical schools getting together, sharing best practices. Johns Hopkins, St. John's University, Northwestern Medical School was there. It was amazing. And there's just
that is amazing
to get all these corporate groups. Yeah, internships for credit now and volunteer service projects that you get student community service hours to work in. And I could just give you example after example. We give out national awards that hundreds of groups apply for. We only give out four, the New York Life Excellence in Summer Learning Awards. And we try and lift up models of creative examples of people, colleges that are packed with high school students and middle school students in the summer months, teaching them on campus in different ways. So that's what we're trying to say. The learning can continue. It doesn't have to be in the four walls of the school building, but we do promote that it has to be aligned with the goals, the academic goals of the school district, but it could take place in museums. It could place in all these parks and rec. And I'll give you a million examples of how learning is taking place differently.
And let me ask Aaron, okay, for a program like you were just talking about the hospitals, and then we said at the beginning that we're really talking about lower income kids, okay? And I'm curious, like a program like the hospitals are doing to have kids think about becoming going into the medical profession, okay?
Yeah.
Are they reaching the kids in the lower incomes? I'm talking about Native American, whoever that might be.
Absolutely.
You know, it's an important thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're teaming up with their local school district. So we just did an event last week where we had what we call the partnership parade. And you saw Chicago Public Schools and Northwestern Medical System standing on stage together, talking about how they work together. And they had a principal saying, I identify the kids who might be interested. And it's three summers in a row, by the way. And they get paid.
Wow.
And there's just a lot. You know, New York City has 100,000 high schoolers who get paid to be in the summer youth employment program. They can do anything, right? So there's just
what
are we doing with them? And, you know, and we could put them in all these different settings. So there's just so much. A great program you would like, I think, that we highlighted last week is called Math Corps. It's out of Wayne State University. It's run by professors in the math department. And
Is Wayne State Michigan or is Wayne State Jersey?
Wayne State, Michigan, Detroit.
Michigan.
Wayne State University in downtown Detroit. And their program, talk about equity, is they pay and train college math majors to teach and train high school students math, who then get paid to teach and train middle school students who don't have to pay a dollar to attend, and the whole program's free for 6 weeks. And they have, one, no attendance problems, because everyone cares a lot about each other, which I could share. And two, they have no staffing problems, because every kid can't wait to move up to the next level. And they have the most fun. They're dancing. They're chanting about fractions and decimals. They have a minister of humor.
It's great.
They get huge results, and they don't have a lot of fancy amenities. There's no swimming pool. They don't have many fields and research. But everyone cares about each other. And when you ask the professor who runs it, this guy named Steve Kahn, who goes by PK, Professor Kahn. And you say, how do you get everyone to care so much about math? He goes, this program is not about math. This program is about love. And everybody knows it, and everyone shows up for each other. And
isn't that amazing?
This is what we're lifting up. This is what we're lifting up. This is what can happen. You know, it could happen all year round, but at least in the summer, it's a time of innovation where you could try new things. It's a time of interconnectedness where you could get all these partnerships. And if these partnerships work, they can continue on during the school year.
And I have to say, because I always talk about this, and I was on a webinar myself yesterday and talked about this. When you approach kids with mathematics like that, I just want to harp on this for a second. Kids are asking for a rigorous curriculum. Okay, and when we discover the way to teach them a rigorous curriculum that challenges them, okay, that doesn't have to be brutal, it's fun, they rise to the occasion, okay? And that's what you just said about Wayne State is the perfect example of that. Those kids may struggle in math during the year, okay? But when it's taught the right way, And we have to look at that quite carefully. It really makes sense, and it should be fun. It should be logical, and it should be
and
fun,
encouraging.
And I congratulate them.
And,
yeah.
Right, and non-judgmental. You know, it's they do this thing. I can't even show it, do it justice over the phone here, but, like, when a kid gets asked a question or has to go up to the board, everyone immediately starts rotating their hands over each other, kind of like they're in a wheel kind of formation, silently but quickly, to show support for the kid answering the question. Like, you could do this. Keep going.
Yeah.
We support you. And it's like, that's automatically it happens.
Okay. So, Aaron, we are I have to ask it this way, okay? You've been doing this a long time, and you guys do great work, okay? But as we said at the very beginning, and this is not your fault, obviously, we're still behind, okay? So what do we – how do we coalesce – you know, I have to ask, why are we still behind? We've been doing this for a long time. We know it's going on. Okay? Nobody's stupid.
Sure.
Everybody knows it's going on. Why are we still having the challenges? What's in that mindset that's making it not work?
Well, it needs to be moved to just a year-round priority as opposed to, a nice to have. Historically, you know, people
more
thought
than nice
about
to
summer
have.
Starting in it. Yeah, in April, if you had a few leftover bucks in your budget, you're like, quick, let's throw together a summer program. Of course it won't be good. Of course no one knows about it. Of course the people you're trying to reach have already made other plans. So it needs to be built into the year-round planning. Now, that's one piece. And funding always matters, and there is funding right now, and, you know, we'll continue to kind of make the case that we need more. But the other thing, and Larry, because you work in education around the country and you're a great kind of follower of these trends, one of the things that we have a challenge with in this country that I believe, and we're working hard to alleviate this, is we have so many good-intentioned people working in their own silos, and we're not coordinating.
Exactly.
And we have a lot of money floating around. We got a lot of people, and I break it into three groups, and I just gave a whole kind of talk about this. I said we have a lot of doers. Those are the people who work directly with kids, 100,000 schools, 30,000, that's public schools, 30,000 private schools, 5,000 charters, 3 million teachers and the teachers, you know, Parks and Rec, YMCA, all those groups, right? A lot of people working directly with kids. Then we have a lot of other people that I like to call renewers. These are the people who don't work with kids, but support the kids, support the people who do work with kids. You know, your curriculum developers, your researchers, you know, your staff trainers. But the thing we're missing, and what we need more of, and we need everyone, and anyone can do this, you don't have to wait for some big leader, is we need more gluers. We need people who are going to tie all this together. Someone who's going to pull in the library with the school district.
Yeah.
All right, we got the books. We got the staff. How do we get everybody reading? You know, and not do a million and one separate initiatives. They need to be aligned. I had 150 librarians at my conference last week. You know, they are in charge of summer reading programs. No one calls them. No, very few districts are calling them saying, hey, will you please have these books be the ones you recommend? You know, they're ready to do anything if the district will call them back. You know,
the district has to call. They have to call the district. They have to call the district.
They call the district. They do. Yeah. And, you know, everyone's overwhelmed. But so we need people who are going to pull everyone together and plan it out. And with summer, you actually have this built-in planning time, where now, as we look at 2024, there is some time to get this all coordinated and use it as a kind of a stepping stone. And then our bottom line is, like we like to say, like, we believe one powerful summer program can change the direction and course of a kid's year.
Of course it can.
Multiple
year-over-year
summers. But multiple summers can change the course and direction of a kid's life. And that's
let me change that. It can change many kids' lives. It's not singular.
Many kids' lives.
Many kids' lives.
Exactly.
Okay.
Millions of kids.
And it's preposterous.
Challenge.
Yeah. It's preposterous.
Yeah. We have all the tools.
So let me ask this, okay? There's school districts, there's teachers listening to the podcast, or they will listen on the archives, whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, what do you want them to do? And a nice thing would go to summerlearning.org, right? Summerlearning.org?
Yes.
Your website? Yep. Yeah. Summerlearning.org.
Two things I would say, more than anything else. One is, if they have the time and ability, we have hundreds of thousands of programs that would love to hire them to work in the program, this summer. And it doesn't have to be in their school building. It could be in any of these groups. and to take on the morning academic portion, or and that would be one if they have the ability and interest. If they don't or they can't, the second most important thing to do, check in with all their students, especially the ones who are most vulnerable, in early February and March, and with their parents, and say, hey, what are your plans for the summer? Or do you have a program? And if they don't have a program that they're going to sign their kid up for, they should go and direct them to something we have going on called discoversummer.org. It lists 100,000 programs. You type in your zip code, you find all the programs near you. And we had more than 300,000 families go on last year and spend 5 minutes each researching programs near them. So that's a resource. So at the very least, you know, if they could work directly, that would be wonderful. I can give you examples of programs like Teachers in the Parks in Reading, Pennsylvania, where teachers sit on blankets under trees and work on reading with a whiteboard and a box of books in the morning. And then at lunch, the Parks and Rec people come in and they take it from there. And it's amazing, and everyone loves it. But
that's a beautiful program. I love that.
Yeah. One, direct people to find programs. There are so many, but they got to know about it to sign up. And then the other thing we really need, and it's not just parents, and it's not just teachers. We're working with districts and guidance counselors on this, is we need more data to know, to find out in the fall, hey, where were you last summer? And then back in March and in February, hey, where are you going to go this summer? And that's how we'll kind of move the needle here and get millions more kids enrolled in programs.
Yeah, you have to. And it's interesting. Every school district knows the statistics about the learning loss. The pandemic plus summer, okay? They know that, all right? And they have to start working on it. If they work on this properly, okay, they can solve their own problem by using the resources. Most of them don't know the resources that are out there. And on that note, okay, how did you at the National Summer Learning Association, how did you guys reach out to school districts? I mean, there's 12,000 school districts. How are we doing in terms of getting in there, into their heads?
Yeah, so
they all know there's a problem. Yeah,
but we also have a lot of patience for them at the local level, because it's easy for me to sit in the national level and harp on things, but I don't have 1,000 screaming kids coming to my office every day, or my place of work. NSLA is part of a national partnership, a formal partnership with the U.S. Department of Education and five groups. The initiative is called Engage Every Student, and it's us, and it's the American Superintendent Association, AASA, and it's the After School Alliance, the National League of Cities, okay, and it's also the State Department of Education groups. And we're all trying to coordinate at the national level on this topic, but we need folks, like I say, at the local level. Kids don't learn at the national level, and they don't learn at the state level. Kids learn at the local level, and that's why we need more connectors and gluers at the local level who are going to tie in resources. I'd like to say this, Larry, which is, everyone is good at what they're good at. It's great, but kids need everything. A lot of times people ask me, they're like, do kids need mental health support or math and reading support? They need both. What do you need for your own kid? I say, it's like, but schools are better at math and reading. Other people are good at teaching art. Some people are good at doing. And that's why we got to bring in all the people who have their little niche expertise or what they're good at and team up. And don't feel pressure if you're the math teacher to try and now run a hip hop dance class. You don't know how to do that. Don't pretend. Go find the arts group who's going to come in and do that. And in Tulsa, Oklahoma, they served 7,000 kids last summer in their Ready, Set, Summer program. And they had school district working with 40 different community organizations coming into the school building. And they renamed it. They rebranded it as summer camp. So every principal, assistant principal who ran it was called a camp director for the summer. And it just kind of like changed the image of it. Yeah, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Pittsburgh, there's so many districts. People know it. People are focused on it. And sometimes people feel alone. And what I'm trying to always tell people is, like, you're not alone. There's so many people. And what's good about an organization like ours is we could scour the country. We have time to find out all the, solutions to all the problems. Whatever problem someone's facing, someone else has already faced it. And we could,
that's
if
right.
I don't know the answer, I could find someone who does and put you in touch. And that's our kind of convening power and you know, usefulness.
Where, Aaron, where does this is very important to me, the community fit into all this? We're talking about school districts having to do all this, and we know that there's community organizations. But I'm not talking about the organization. I'm talking about literally the community. Okay,
yes.
You're always trying to figure out what the hell to do with their kids over the summer anyway.
Yes.
Okay, and that includes senior citizens, many of whom are retired, many of whom retired librarians and teachers on top of everybody else.
Exactly.
All the other professions. Where is the community? And again, not per se the organization, but the
huge
people.
Role.
Yeah,
huge
talk about
role.
That.
And in so many examples, Boston does this. They use the community as the classroom in the summer, and they open up. And this is why you need more coordination. And by the way, there are assets, not just big cities, because I know sometimes, cities have all these museums. You know, rural areas, there are empty summer camps that sit vacant for 10 months of the year that are in rural counties. And there's colleges,
right.
And there's 4-H. And people have, they have hiking trails. People have, every community has their own assets and strengths that need to be leveraged and brought in and lifted up. And that is a huge piece. This is why we do need local leadership to tie this in. You know, why is the Parks and Rec running a summer camp not in talking to the school district? And why is a summer camp who's sitting 2 miles down the street from a school district that no one knows? So one thing we funded this past 2 years was something, and I did it with the American Summer Camp Association, ACA. We funded the Camp School Partnership, where we gave money to summer camps to then approach their local school districts, often rural, who have this extra of post-COVID money, and said, hey, I'm not asking you for money, but I'm asking you to match my money. So we gave out $15,000, $25,000 grants to camps. Each camp had to go to their district. The district had to match it. So now they have $50,000. And then we said, co-design and co-run a program for your teachers and your kids, but at the camp facility at the end of the summer when the summer camp is over and it's sitting empty. And in Milwaukee, Milwaukee Public Schools and Boys and Girls Club camps did such a good job together that Milwaukee Public Schools added in another $7 million. And that will expand these partnerships.
Congrats.
So
there are,
thank you, and congrats to them. It's like there are so many partnerships. They just need to be nudged together, incentivized to work together, and be complementary. What do you have? What do I have? What do you need? What can I provide? And they're all trying to reach the same kids, neighborhoods, and communities. That's the joke. That's why it's so sad, and that's why I'm so, one, hopeful, but two, sometimes frustrated. But I'm like, this is a very realistic challenge to reach all these kids.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm just sitting here thinking, and you probably thought of it already. You know, if I were you, I'd put an ad in AARP magazine because there's so many seniors who are dying to help. Okay,
and
just get them juiced, so to speak. I mean,
Larry, it's a great point, but I want to underscore it, which is, you know, we are fortunate, you and I, to work in a field where people who are not in our field want to help out.
Sure, they do. Exactly.
I have a friend. He's a dentist. People are not calling to volunteer at his dental office, but people are calling to volunteer at the summer program, and they want to help out the kids. And everyone gets it. And this is why it's not just on us. It's us to welcome all these millions of volunteers and retirees and people who have skills and strengths and ready to be mentors and tutors and volunteers. There's a lot of coordination that needs to be done, but it's very doable.
It is extremely doable. And I just wanted to ask, you said that the government gave $30 billion? Did I get that right?
Allocated $30 billion that could be used for after-school and summer programs as part of a COVID recovery strategy.
And that was
and
the
so,
school district.
Now,
was that the school district?
That was yes. The way it flowed, it went from the federal government to state departments of education, who got to keep a little bit of that money, let's say 20%. So state have a lot of leeway, and governors have some money, a lot of flexibility, but the majority of the money went to districts. And now, look, they could do anything with it. They could. It was allowable use. Summer was listed. It was strongly encouraged. It was not required. And they even said, we strongly encourage you to work, team up with your community partners. We're not going to require.
Yep.
Now, if they want to go buy an air conditioning system and put in a new field, I mean, that's up to them. But this is there is money available. And a lot of money has not been spent still. And there's going to be extensions given.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be spent by next 2024, but I think a lot of you could ask for an extension so you could still spend it. So, look,
yeah, better hurry
resources.
Because the House ain't passing nothing for next year that I can see.
Oh, no. And that was why they did it. You know, they know, moments change. You know, you got to never let a – I don't know, catastrophe
yeah, never
go to waste the, kind of thing. Yeah.
Absolutely.
whatever.
Absolutely. So I have to ask Aaron, at your big conference just late, where was it, by the way? Was it in D.C.?
It was last week. It was last week in D.C. Sold out.
Okay.
Second year.
Great. And congratulations on that. So you had that, okay? And I'm sure you had wonderful speakers. You probably had an exhibit hall and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
All that said, what was the mood? I'll just say it that way. What as people look towards the future, as they assess their mood and assess where we are,
yeah.
What was the mood?
The mood, I think, and man, I'm not just saying this to brag about it. I think people, everyone said to me, it was the most inspiring, collaborative, and kid-focused conference anyone's ever been to in their career.
Ah, nice.
And
great.
We had students speaking and performing at every session. We had people came – in almost, I don't know if you follow the Avengers, comic book movie, but it felt like everyone was coming together like in the superheroes of our education system.
Wow.
And it was like, and you've been like brought here together. We have a challenge, we have a mission, and we all have to team up now to go serve the kids of America. And people were ready to run through walls when they left this
conference.
Yeah,
we do. And I'm going to say what you said before. It's an equity question. Okay.
Absolutely.
It's an equity question, and we got to work on that every day. I know my good pal Stacy is listening to this, Stacy Finkel, and you're listening. You're part of this too, Aaron. If you guys ever want to write an article for our magazine, which is all about equity and access, please do that. We would love to carry this.
Oh, thank you.
You
we,
guys, it's there, and I am quite, as Stacy knows, I'm quite serious about it. And,
appreciate
yeah,
that.
You know, we're
we'll
happy to help you any way
Larry.
We can. It's really important.
Thank
you. It's Yeah,
Larry,
my pleasure, my friend.
Can I just tell you, sometimes I joke, I say, my title is CEO, but what matters more when it comes to summer learning is if you move those letters around to EOC, and that stands for promoting education equity, like you said, creating opportunity, and the thing that all summer programs do really well, it's their special sauce, is build community and make everyone feel included. And that's what we're doing here, and appreciate your help.
That is what you're doing. It's working out. And I just have one last question for you, which concerns me. It has to do with artificial intelligence. You're probably wondering, why is he talking about that? But you were running Arnold Schwarzenegger's summer programs association, okay? And I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Did you ever talk about the end of Terminator 3? Do we have anything to really worry about with AI? And could you please call him and
ask him? I'm not an expert on that. We had a whole panel about that because there's a lot of discussion about how to use AI in education. But,
but
you're
the only person
I
know who can call the Terminator on the phone and actually ask him.
You could call him. Let me tell you, brother, you could invite him to be on because if the number one issue he cares about almost next to the environment is after school and summer programs for kids. And he's been a champion for decades.
I would love to. I don't know how to connect. Send me some information on how to connect, and I will answer. Yeah, that'd be great, because I am, all kidding aside, a huge fan of what he does.
Okay.
I like him.
Well,
he's a good guy.
He's been passionate about this for a long time. Yep.
Oh, I would love to have him on,
right,
for obvious reasons, but especially for what he does in thinking about all this and making it happen for kids.
He was the biggest advocate for the largest, prior to COVID, the largest federal funding stream for after-school and summer programs called 21st Century Community Learning Center funding. And he was the face of the initiative to kind of get it off the ground. And every time it's been on the chopping block, he comes to Washington to save it and preserve it. And he's done that numerous times, and he's helped increase it. And this is he gets it. And he's been working on this for decades. And he has walked his talk on this issue.
He walks and talks, and thank you for saying that, because I always felt like he was a good guy. I always felt like he was a good guy, okay? And I'm glad to hear it. And by the way, since I'm on that subject, he is the classic example of why we need immigrants in this country. He came over from Austria, okay? And look at the success a man had. It's unbelievable. We got to constantly remember that. The governor, former governor of California, too. Let's not forget that, okay?
Yep.
What can I say, Aaron? I'm writing an article for us. Stacy's listening. She'll get in touch with me, but I want to stay in touch with you as well. Okay?
Likewise.
Thank you, my friend. I appreciate this.
Summerlearning.org. Appreciate you.
You got
all right,
it.
Be well.
It's all linked up here, by the way. I have it all linked, so everybody can go to it. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, that was great. Aaron Philip Dworkin is the CEO, or OEC, if he prefers, the executive director over at the National Summer Learning Association, NSLA, summerlearning.org. You heard it all. What do I have to say? Just make it so, number two. That's all I have to say, or number one, whatever that was. Anyway, I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and thank you for listening, everybody. Have a good day.